This is the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, the only local sports talk show in the Mid-Willamette Valley. Now, here's Jeff Morgan and Hunter Newton on 1430 KYKN.
Well, happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're enjoying this kind of wet, crazy week. But I hear it's going to get better next week, Hunter. And I'm really looking forward to some 60-degree weather. Heard Monday, it's going to get close to 70 degrees for a day.
This is so typical Oregon, as bipolar as it gets. We're under the atmospheric river getting doused for, you know, 2 or 3 days.
Where did that even come from, atmospheric river? I know this as the Pineapple Express.
So I think that a few years back, I actually looked into some of the history of the phrase not too long ago. And if I'm remembering correctly, it's a relatively recent phrase that, you know, the weather forecasters came up with to describe it. When you say Pineapple Express, what does that initially put in your head? You know, southeast coastal, like Florida kind of a thing is what I think we say Pineapple Express, you know?
Well, I think it's Hawaii because yeah. That's where it's coming from.
But so they decided that it's really just kind of a river of water flying over our heads.
In the atmosphere.
That drops down as it hits the mountain ranges and it hits landfall. So they change it to the atmospheric river, and they love to say atmospheric river because it sounds so, you know,
fearful.
Well, that once in a blue moon event that, oh my goodness. But yet this is what, the third or fourth one in the year, and we're only in, mid-March.
Anything to drive some fear.
Whatever they can come up with. They love wordplay. Let's put it that way.
So that weather report is being brought to you by Sprinter Van of Salem, right down there on Commercial Street Southeast, 2405 to be exact, and Brian, Merrill, and Eli. They've got some vans out there. If you need one for your business or just for the family, I mean, shoot, they've got some deals. I think they've got some great financing actually going on through the end of this month. So perfect time to buy.
That's right. For business, for pleasure, and for staying dry.
Yeah, and you can stand up in these things, mm-hmm. which is unbelievable. I mean, if you're over 6 feet, I mean, this one's perfect for you.
Well, I mean, I'm sitting there going, these things are so well built and so accommodating for whatever you need them for. I mean, you could realistically, there's enough room in these things to literally set up a camper kind of a thing.
Well, that's what they do.
That's right.
People do that in the Sprinter vans. You see the camper vans mm-hmm. all over the place. So yeah. If you're into that.
That's kind of sports related, right? Camping can be a,
Well, absolutely. I mean, you got fishing and, you can go up snowmobiling and take your Sprinter van.
That's right.
There's actually snow now.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think right now a lot of these pass roads are being cleared as fast as they can, but there's definitely some traffic issues going on up in the mountains because of the amount of snow coming down. But like you said, that should end for the beginning of next week, and it'll be a great time to get out there and hit the slopes.
It's going to be nice. Are the slopes even open?
They're opening.
I don't even know how they're making it.
So just about everyone in Oregon has been limited on what is available. I know that there was one where they actually even shut down inner tubing because that's at a lower elevation than the ski
sure.
lifts are. So they actually had to shut down the inner tubing because of the lack of snow. And then, like Bachelor and all these others, some of the lifts are open, some of the lifts aren't, depending on where they've got the snow. With this recent atmospheric river bringing a lot of snowfall into the mountains, there's going to be a lot that are well opened up. I know that over the last couple of days, they actually had to shut a few down because of the high winds.
It's
because
blowing.
They get a little dangerous.
Oh, heck yeah, it does.
So,
especially on top of that mountain.
So come Monday when, they're projecting we might hit 70 degrees, that might be the perfect day to hit the slopes with fresh snow.
Fresh snow, spring skiing, get your shorts on and go fire that up. I used to ski in shorts.
Yeah.
Believe that or not.
I used to.
Back in the day.
Yeah, when I went up, it was always like you're packed in so many layers. And then as you go along, it's because you're working out. I mean, it is a workout to ski. You're peeling off layers left and right, but then you're having to find ways to kind of carry it all down the mountain with you.
Well, you have to keep going to the locker.
That's right.
Oh, man. Okay, so I guess that's sports related. Snow, skiing.
Yeah, of course it is.
Whatever.
It's extreme sports. I'm not thinking we're going to get on ESPN, with you and I going out there skiing with weak knees and whatever else, but hey.
Yeah, I don't do that anymore. I'll probably blow one out. I've done that one too many times. Well, no, actually once was enough.
All right. So it's talking about spring. Okay. We are in the midst of spring training and we are in the midst of the World Baseball Classic. And capturing headlines over the last week has been the handshake snub.
How does that even happen? I mean, well, why are people get so offended by things?
Well,
these days?
I think this is like, it seems like 100% media buildup to create cracks. And if you haven't heard, Cal Raleigh, who's playing for Team USA in the World Baseball Classic, catching, and the batter coming up for Team Mexico was his Mariner teammate, Randy Arozarena. Okay. Arozarena reached his hand out to give Cal a handshake. They're teammates in the regular season. They're adversaries in this game. And Cal just sat there and left Randy hanging. So the media has blown this up. Randy didn't help. Randy kind of in the post-game interview was obviously, whether he was upset or whether this was kind of playing to the audience, he dropped a few profanities and had plenty to say about being snubbed by Cal and kind of feeling embarrassed. On Cal's side and the Mariners' side and even the manager of Team USA, it is a non-issue. They've kind of come out and said, no, this is the way, and they even talked about this scenario before the series. Cal said, in this, we're adversaries. I get it, we're teammates on the regular, but here we're adversaries. I'm not going to be shaking hands. So I think to a certain extent, you know, talking about it beforehand, a little bit played up, right? The other aspect that you don't even think about, and one of the explanations I've seen being floated out there, is that Major League Baseball umpires, and of course the umpires that are working this World Baseball Classic, are under the instruction, because we talk about it with high school officials and everybody else. Each year they come up with a kind of a new set of things that they really want to focus on as officials. One of those things for Major League Baseball umpires is any kind of sticky residue, anything else, any foreign substance on a pitcher's hand or on the baseball. So Randy coming up to bat has probably most likely got a little pine tar on his batting gloves, right, from his baseball bat. He shakes hands with the catcher. A little bit of that pine tar gets on Cal's hands. He takes a pitch, throws it back to the pitcher. Some of that pine tar could end up on that baseball. And now all of a sudden, the pitcher is at risk for being kicked out of a game and potentially being held out for a week or 10 days of suspension for having a foreign substance on a baseball.
So what is pine tar? Can it really change the motion on the baseball?
Yes, on a pitch. If you have a substance, I mean, you look at Gaylord Perry. He was world-renowned for finding foreign substances to get on those baseballs. You look at the George Brett pine tar incident in the early 80s.
Sure.
Where, of course, I also figure with that one, the George Brett one, I'm like, does it matter where the pine tar is on the bat?
No, it doesn't.
But, you know, they had this regulation. It had to be this far, and it was farther than that. Okay. But for a pitching perspective, finding that little foreign substance, whether it causes the ball to stick a little longer in the hand on a curveball, whether it slips out a little easier, whatever the foreign substance is, it can have an effect on the way the spin or the projection of the baseball coming out of the pitcher's hand.
Well,
so that's why
it's
become such a big issue.
I mean, I could see it maybe it's weighted differently mm-hmm. on the ball.
Yeah.
And so I guess that could cause it, but I don't think it's got to be on your hand
mm-hmm.
in order for it to, I mean, obviously it's going to go to your hand if it's on the ball, but I mean, really, how much is really on there? Even if you're getting a little bit from a handshake, it's not that much.
It's not going to be that much, but it presents a risk. I mean, imagine just a little bit of
what risk is there?
Well, for the pitcher, if the umpires are watching for this thing, in this particular movements or things like that, where, I mean, you can go back and look at some pitching careers, mediocre careers that all of a sudden one year, the pitcher just all of a sudden had this curveball that snapped like unbelievably. And you kind of got to go look, it's like a Brady Anderson being a 20 home run maximum guy. And then all of a sudden one year hitting 50 and then the next year back down into the 20, you know, what are these guys doing? And for baseball's perspective, there's been a lot of scrutiny on players utilizing things that maybe or maybe not breaking a rule, but taking advantage of things within the rules.
I think you're always going to have players, coaches, whoever, taking advantage of the rules.
Well, it starts at the...
Then they change the rules because of the taking advantage of. Uh-huh. So,
And then the criminals are the ones that took advantage of. I mean, that's the thing that gets me. I sit here and go, you look at the Houston Astros cheating scandal. Mm-hmm. Well, they weren't doing anything outside of the rules until after the season was ended. But because they made them change the rules to create a scenario where if you're beating on a drum to tell the batter what pitch is coming, that's against the rules. I mean, there's a reason if you watch coaches in a basketball game when they're huddling up with their players, they make sure they've got their backs to every camera. People on the sidelines at a football game, whenever they're calling a play, they hold something in front of their face so that you can't read their lips through the cameras. Major League Baseball, same scenario. You know, they have these cameras that are right there in center field that can easily pick up the signals. And if somebody's back there watching it, and that's what the Astros did, they found a way to relay a signal quickly to the batter to know what pitch was coming.
And the runner, for that matter.
Yep. So I sit here and go, those things are always there, and people are always cognizant of it. And finding a way to kind of bend the rules. And they teach this in Little League. I mean, it goes from the bottom on up of finding ways to legally do stuff within the set boundary of rules. But when you get busted for it, it's like the home run races of the mid to late 90s. Okay. I remember watching interviews with Mark McGwire where he has literally jars of Andro in his locker right behind him. In these live interviews, no one questioned it. But then when the steroid and the enhancements thing came up years later, he was criminalized for using it. It wasn't illegal at the time in Major League Baseball rules to use these performance enhancers. But yet he became the criminal and him and Sammy Sosa and Barry Bonds and all the group for being the ones doing this. When in reality, at the time, it wasn't against the rules. The steroids, of course, were, because that's an illegal banned substance. So the Jose Canseco blowing the roof off of all of his teammates using that stuff in Texas became a big deal. But that's the thing, is pro athletes, they always are looking to cement their spot and find that way to take advantage of what they can.
You know, playing baseball growing up, since I was like 5 years old, we always were looking to steal signs. It didn't matter how you did it, there was always the third base coach who was calling the signs back mm-hmm. in the day. And now I think they're doing it from the dugouts. They're doing it from all, they have deeks everywhere now.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know who's doing anything. You got multiple guys that are giving out signs and you don't know who the key guy is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way that it is. But back in the day, when you're in Little League, I mean, you just have a head coach and he's the one doing all that stuff. And so you can pick that crap off all the time. But you were told to do that. You were taught to do that.
Yeah.
Because you're always looking for an advantage.
One of the things that sticks out from when I played Little League is when a player walked, everyone on the field kind of took a break, right? And there was one guy I played against in Little League that recognized that. And I think I'm assuming an adult told him, because this isn't something a kid would think about. And when he would walk, as the rest of the team is kind of turning their backs and getting ready for the next pitch and yada, yada, you know, the pitcher's kicking themselves for throwing four balls, he would hustle to first base and then turn and run to second.
Yeah.
And it's like, and no one's paying attention. The shortstop's got his head down. The second baseman's got his head down. The pitcher's got his back to him. And he did that constantly. And it's like one of those things, you just got to pick it up. And I go, you know, when you're talking about the sign calling thing, I always go to the Ducks sideline in a football game
mm-hmm.
because there's one or two guys holding up big signs that have weird pictures on them. Then there's six other guys throwing hand signals around and you're like, who do you watch?
You know, it's Chip Kelly's the one, I think, who introduced all of those antics into college football.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's got that to put on his shoulder, but everybody's taken that thing because it was cool and it was fun. And, you know, just one more thing to add attraction to the game.
Yeah. And that's the thing is baseball is this way. And of course this handshake scenario, I think it's totally being blown out of proportion by the media to create some, you know, actionable news controversy, because gosh darn it, media loves controversy.
They are notorious for doing things like this, and you're really, it's too bad, but they've been doing it forever. So, you know what? You just got to look at them and go, stop it.
Yeah. In a couple of weeks, well, Randy's going to be back because Mexico got eliminated from the World Baseball Classic. So Randy's back in Mariners camp now, I'm assuming. Cal will be there when the USA either gets eliminated or wins the tournament. There's really nothing to talk about in this scenario until we see if there's a problem between them in the dugout.
They're going to be bringing it up again. Oh, hey, what's it like in the dugout right now? What are they doing in the locker room? And it's just like, I bet these guys are just, they don't even care.
Well, it goes right back to everything else. When you are a contender, right now the Mariners are a World Series contender by every metric, every expert talking about it. It's like with the Dodgers, another World Series contender. The constant question being asked in the Dodger land is pretty much, what do you think of Tucker's contract? Do you think it's going to cause a riff and this and that? And it's like the players are going, I'm here to play baseball. I'm here to do a job. I'd love a contract like that. I don't have one yet. Maybe I'll get there.
It just is what it is.
Yep.
Let's just go win a World Series. And guess what? Next year, you're probably going to get a better contract, won't you?
Mm-hmm.
So go out and win. And yeah, to put the Mariners in the same category as the Dodgers, that's saying something right there, Hunter. I don't know if you did that on purpose.
Well, that's what I am hearing. I mean, literally just looking at some of this preseason analysis and things like that, a lot of the experts are thinking the Mariners have a decent shot of getting to their first World Series and potentially winning their first World Series this year.
I think I had to be last year. I think Toronto was actually the better team.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. And the Dodgers, just for whatever reason, were able to pull off some crazy miracles and had stuff happen that is just an anomaly and were able to take another World Series. But this year, we'll see what happens. I think for the Mariners, I mean, we can get into that later, but for the Mariners, it's all really going to come down to their pitching. They've got hitting, yeah, and they've got great defense, but the pitching, that's been the issue. And they were able to do okay last year, but still they had some moments where they went on some bad losing streaks and it didn't look good.
Well, and the one thing we know is eventually, and I think the big difference now between the last couple of years, it started last year, is they're close enough that if they get to that trade deadline and they feel they need to add something, they're going to go out and they're going to work to get it.
I like it. You got to have somebody who can hit base hits too and not just go for the home runs,
yep,
even though that's what everybody wants to see. You've got to have somebody who can put the ball in play to put things in motion so you can score more runs. So that's where we go, well, shoot, we got to get out to a break, Hunter. This has gone forever. All right, Sports Ticket right here on 1430 KYKN. We'll be back right after this.
The Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Jeff and Hunter continues on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to the Sports Ticket. This segment being brought to you by Domino's Pizza. Order online, get 20% off. $7.99, three topping. Carry out, whichever you prefer.
Prefer. That's right. Yeah. Boom, 20%.
20%. I love it. It's a good night for it too, man. It's going to be a little chilly.
Well, I mean, we are in conference championship tournament basketball play right now. And this is the time of the year when sitting down with a Domino's pizza, maybe a couple of TV screens and watching a few of these games. I mean, you can go back to earlier this week when it was kind of the play-in slash, you know, top seed versus bottom seed games. You go, okay, that's a wash. You know who's going to win. You can predict it from the get-go. But right now, when you're looking at championship and semi-championship level games, these are the ones worth watching.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and it sounds like you've done this before.
A couple
of pizzas, a couple of games going on, a couple of TVs.
I like to set up as many TVs as I can during March Madness because, gosh darn it, it is entertaining.
It is a lot of fun, and even last night, Duke almost got knocked off, number one team in the country, to Florida State, and Florida State actually had a chance to win it at the buzzer, and they missed.
Well,
that would have been a huge, huge upset right there.
Well, I mean, that sounds like a much more entertaining game than we saw from the Ducks against Maryland earlier this week. That's all I can say on that.
Yeah, that was like, what, Tuesday afternoon?
No, that was it Monday or Tuesday? It was Monday or Tuesday.
I think it was Tuesday.
Okay, Tuesday afternoon, and wow, was it not pretty.
You know, 12 points in the first half. I don't even know what to say about that. That is terrible.
Well, did you show up? I mean, did you oversleep? Who?
Well, senior night, I mean, shoot, on Saturday, they knocked off Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Big game.
Yeah.
Pulled it out. And so you think, oh, maybe the Ducks have some momentum, and they come out and lay an egg. And, you know, I put that all on Altman. I swear I do, because it's just like, how can you not, as a seasoned coach, have your guys ready to get out there and play. This has been a very strange year. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's been injuries. Shellstad, their number one point guard, is out with a wrist injury. He had surgery, and so he won't be back until next year, maybe, unless somebody else gives him some more money somewhere else. But I think he's an Oregon guy, and he's going to stick around. But still, Dana Altman, holy smokes, what a struggle all year long. Nate Middles, a senior, he had a really good season. He's going to go to the next level for sure out of North Medford, but... gosh,
whether it's injuries or just a lack of shooting. I mean, when they hit a cold streak, they hit a cold streak this year. I mean, you don't see it like that in basketball very often. And to me, that was the scenario. It's like last year, the first year of this really expanded Big Ten, the bottom four teams didn't even get an opportunity to get into the tournament. This year, they changed it up a little bit. So the bottom, every team got to play at least one game. The Ducks came into this thing as the favorite with a higher ranking than Maryland. And I don't know whether that was just a chip on the Maryland shoulders or what, but they came out, I mean, 33 points in the first half, 33-12, shut down the Ducks completely. And whether it was just bad shooting by the Ducks or great defense by Maryland, the second half was a whole different story where Maryland just literally... running out the clock. They had such a commanding lead that they only ended up winning by 10. But if they had pressed that thing all game long, could have probably blown them out by 25 or 30.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, after the game in the press conference, Dana Altman, I mean, he's really kind of dogging his players, too, just saying, you know, I didn't recruit the right guys. It's like, why in the world would you even make a statement like that? I mean, you basically just destroyed the players that you've got, and who wants to come back and play for you?
Well, and that's the downside, is a statement like that, whether it's meant as a general thing of this is my failure, I didn't get the guys we needed in to win or whatever. You literally just said, open the door, transfer portal for all of this team, and we're going to start over from scratch.
Well, the thing is, he's going to have to do it anyways, because I think he had at least four or five seniors on that squad. So, yeah, he's going to have to rebuild. And he's been doing it for the last few years, and this is the one that just didn't quite work out for him, obviously.
Yeah.
I think they ended up being, what are there, 16 teams in the Big Ten? And so they ended up being, what, 14th?
Yeah,
14th or 15th.
Yeah, they were down there. They were literally,
I think they were 4-14 or something. Game, 5-14. What, yeah, it's terrible. But and then the Beavers have a new coach, Wayne Tinkle. His last game was against Gonzaga, and actually that team looked really, really good. They played Gonzaga extremely tough, and I actually think that they, gosh, if they could have had a couple of stops, they might have had a chance to beat them. But as it is, Tinkle's last game was Wednesday, and then Gonzaga goes on to lose to Santa Clara yesterday in the championship game.
Well, it's you know, Mike Allegar and I talked about it last week with the Wayne Tinkle, because they already announced that he was done at the end of the year,
right?
But he was going to finish out the season for them, and he will go somewhere else, and he will probably to a mid-tier college where he can build a quality program.
Why? Go to Montana and retire and just relax.
Who knows?
And go coach
because
some
these
high
guys,
school team.
These guys love the level and the competition. And I mean, Oregon State, to their credit, he took them to the semifinals, losing to Gonzaga.
Took them to a Final Four.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about this year.
No, I know. Yeah. But I mean, still, I mean, just his coaching career at OSU. I mean,
yeah. Well, a lot of the theory behind why they wanted him, knowing he was going to be replaced, they wanted him to roll out the season, is the last thing they want to do is see him go join some staff that could potentially and then have a Cinderella story this off, you know, this March. So, you know, yeah, he is now officially done. Congratulations, Santa Clara, for making the tournament with that win. Now the Zags will be an at-large bid. They were ranked 12 going into the game.
Yeah, they'll probably rank like 17, whatever. And St. Mary's will be in too. They were ranked number 21, so they'll get in as well. They lost to Santa Clara too. So Santa Clara, man, they're on a roll.
Yep.
So
a lot of times
you better look out on that one.
When you're the third best team in the West Coast Conference, you need to win the tournament to make sure you're in there. I mean, that's the truth of the matter. So congratulations to Santa Clara for doing that. I mean, it reminds me of a few years back when the Ducks were borderline in the tournament and went on to go ahead and win the Pac-12 tournament.
They played very well in the Pac-12 for whatever reason. I don't know why. I don't know if they loved Las Vegas. Maybe that's the problem. They need to take the tournament back to Vegas or something.
Remember when everything flipped. I mean, we just celebrated, yesterday, the 6-year anniversary of shutting down the Pac-12 tournament when you were in Las Vegas watch it.
Yeah, that was crazy. I mean, they played the first game on Wednesday, and then Thursday, are we going to play? Because the Ducks were supposed to play the Beavs. And I think that's when Peyton Pritchard was still there. It was his senior year, and then that just got shut down. But that was going to be a pretty stinking good game.
Well, both Ducks programs, the men and the women that year.
That's right.
That women's team with Sabrina Ionescu and a couple of others that ended up being all like top five picks in the WNBA draft, they were looking at that national championship, and they had a real legit shot of that. And unfortunately, wheels fell off. And I sit there and go, if you go back to 2020 with Sabrina, she would have been Caitlin Clark before Caitlin Clark. If they had completed this tournament, they'd won a championship, and she had been that number one overall draft pick. That combination would have put her in that conversation for one of the best women's players of all time. Unfortunately, because of the way things panned out, everything was done behind closed doors during COVID, and she's a quality player. She's a great leader on the team she's on, but she doesn't have that national notoriety she would have if she had led the Ducks to a championship.
You know, there's more fighting in the WNBA than there is in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have you seen these women just like go crazy? I mean, talk about some emotions going high.
Let's take a break. Let's talk about it for a minute. Let's take a break. And we'll come back and talk about the differences. And of course, WNBA right now is in a strike. So we'll get back to that here in a minute. You're listening to the Sports Ticket on 1430 KYKN.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Jeff and Hunter on 1430 KYKN.
All right, here we are. We're back. The Sports Ticket. And this third segment of this fine show is being brought to you by Color Tile of Salem, right down there on Lancaster Drive in the Academy Square across from the Willamette Town Center. Although, they still say Lancaster Mall in their ad, so, you know, I think we're going to have to...
I still say Lancaster Mall when I drive past it.
No, I know. It just is what it is. I don't even know what it is anymore. It's really not even a mall anymore.
No.
It's kind of an outside going in now instead of going to the mall.
They call it a promenade.
Oh, it's the promenade.
Mm-hmm. Or
okay.
Something along those lines.
Well, yeah, it used to be outdoor. Now it's outdoor to indoor. And is there still some walking ways? I haven't even been to the mall and like I don't even remember.
Yeah, I think there is still some walkways. The problem is it's the way that the mall life worked is big box stores started shutting access out from the internal mall parts, and that's what kills all the little businesses. And then all of a sudden you're literally looking at outdoor shopping centers.
Well, and that's what they have.
That's right.
And all of that to say that this segment is being brought to you by Color Tile. That's not in the Willamette Town Center.
That's right.
It's in the Academy Square.
Well, and it always boggles my mind in places like here where we have these atmospheric rivers that make getting from store to store in place like that soaking wet.
Well, thinking about atmospheric rivers, Color Tile has waterproof flooring. So
what I need.
That's exactly what you need. So
this is the time of the year for it. Gosh, I'm just hoping that, dry out enough as we hit this spring season where sports like baseball aren't negatively affected, soccer and all these outdoor sports, because we're back in that season right now. I actually saw a clip on Facebook. My cousin up in the Seattle area, my nephew, is playing his first year of high school baseball and hit a grand slam home run in his first game.
Wow.
So
that's impressive.
Yeah.
Is he a junior?
Huh?
Junior?
No, I think he's like a freshman sophomore. He's
legit.
Yeah. He went to a couple of these, out of state, big combines for high school kids, got ranked him. He's throwing close to 90 miles an hour as a pitcher. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'll get into that with you later about what my cousin does for a living, because this is what it is. He interacts with a lot of major league players up in the Seattle area regularly. So,
super cool.
Yeah. But we were talking about women's basketball versus men's basketball. And of course, WNBA, we got a new expansion team in Portland. Things are happening. Caitlin Clark is the face of the league, sort of. But right now they are in a walkout. They have not reached a collective bargaining agreement. The big sticking point, from my understanding, is the women players, they want a large cut of the gross income for the WNBA, where if you know anything about the WNBA, there is no net income. They are a net loss organization.
Does that make them a nonprofit?
Pretty darn close. Well, if you figure the NBA is the one funneling money through them, then right. They are a nonprofit. But the of course, the WNBA/NBA is offering a portion of the net income, which they don't want because there is none. So who knows when this thing will happen, because this all has to reach an agreement before they can do an expansion draft for the new team in Portland and one other new team. They have to do a regular draft once the March Madness is completed. And then, of course, training camp come April. So everything with the WNBA is on hold right now. But we were talking a little bit before we went to break about the differences you see in the way they play the game. And the physicality and the way the women almost fight like it's a hockey game compared to where the men, yeah, they may do some bumping and bruising, but they don't really get into those altercations.
You know, I've just seen women getting thrown down, you know, just bullied.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, that's what it is. I mean, these women are bullies. I mean, when you make a shot and you're just showing some people up, and I mean, they just come and they just clock you. And I don't see that happening in the NBA because all the players are really, really good. But when you start getting emotions involved, mm-hmm. I mean, and then the drama starts coming in, I mean, it's like you're back in high school again with catfights.
Well, there's two really big things at play. One, the social media aspect, where some of the top players in the WNBA care more about their social media following and the controversy they create there than what they're actually doing on the court.
Thus the drama. That's what they just created.
The other part of this is men's basketball. If you go back to the mid to late 80s to the mid 90s, okay, it was extremely physical.
Yes.
When you had guys like Dennis Rodman on the
Lane
court
Beard.
And Isaiah Thomas and you know, the Bad News Detroit Pistons and the Chicago Bulls, Larry Bird, Magic, I mean, the whole thing. You had unbelievably talented players, and you throw another talented player into that mix, and they all wanted to elevate their game, and the physicality was there and the roughness of the game, but they fought through it because it was about pride and building up the NBA as a whole. I mean, I go back to the early 90s, living in the Seattle, watching the Sonics, okay? They were getting so popular at that point in time because of the way they played the game, and as a league, which that's why they're so profitable, right?
Yeah.
That they tore down the Seattle Center Arena, built Key Arena. Well, then they hit the period of time, the lull, where you had the Jailblazers and constant problems, Ron Artest going into the stands and fighting people watching the game. People went away from it to the point where now they couldn't sell out Key Arena. So what did the Sonics do when Howard Schultz sold them? Is they said, City of Seattle, you either build us a bigger arena so we can fit more butts in the seats for a cheaper price, or we're leaving town. Well, they left town. Where on the WNBA side of things, you put a star like Caitlin Clark, star power like that into the mix, and the jealousy arises. Where I don't want you focusing on her. You need to be focusing on me.
Right.
Rather than up your level of play to reach Caitlin Clark's level, these women are tearing Caitlin Clark down to their level. And there's where your problem lies. And I go, going back to what we said earlier, if Sabrina Ionescu in 2020 had literally won the NCAA tournament and then went to the WNBA, that might be her in the crosshairs of some of these women,
because
they're
know.
So catty.
Caitlin Clark, I mean, she's a phenom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's better than
Sabrina.
And bar none. But to your point, I think you're probably right in that scenario early on. But I think it would have been great if Sabrina and Caitlin could have just had a Bird and Magic moment.
Yeah.
Or Isaiah.
Isaiah Thomas.
Thomas. Yeah. Same thing. I mean, these guys, they couldn't stand each other. But they did it in a way that wasn't like after the play. It was always during a play, and the women is always after the play. So I think that's your difference there. They. I don't know.
Well, it's so
too much chaos.
It's so funny you bring it up, because I sit here and go, you know, you had Larry Bird versus Magic Johnson. Classic rivalry. Everybody tuned in to watch it. You would have Jordan and Isaiah Thomas, or Dennis Rodman and whoever he's playing against, that generated this, you know, rivalry. In the WNBA, you have Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, where the rivalry isn't on the court. When they're on the court together, Caitlin dominates.
Yeah.
But the rivalry seems to be behind the scenes, in the interview room, in the locker room, on social media, where this, you must compare us and you must relate us. The bottom line is this. When Caitlin Clark plays, 17,000 people go to that arena and millions watch on TV. When anybody else in the WNBA plays, 8,000 people show up and hundreds of people watch on TV. So the WNBA not recognizing they have a golden goose and kind of forcing the rest of the league to accept it, that's on them.
Totally.
All right.
And with that, we're going to take a break. Sports Ticket right here, 1430 KYKN.
The Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Jeff and Hunter continues on 1430 KYKN.
Here we are, Friday night, Sports Ticket, being brought to you by Vollenwein Burger Bar on Commercial Street, best burger in town. If you haven't had one, you need to go get one.
That's right.
Like right now.
And
it's
don't,
dinner time.
And don't back out like the Baltimore Ravens. Go all in, you know. So, yeah, big news. NFL season is, their calendar year is officially underway, which is free agency, trades, and all these crazy. I mean, there has been a ton of player movement in the NFL. There is no more team loyalty whatsoever going in either direction.
It's been happening for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, coaching, players, and you name it.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing's off the table.
No, you know, and of course, the big news right out of the gate, Max Crosby, the 5-time Pro Bowler from the Raiders, was traded to the Baltimore Ravens. I'm thinking the Ravens want to get back to that, you know, Ray Lewis-style defense where they shut everything down. Max Crosby would have been a key part of that. He went in for the physical in Baltimore, and some question marks came up because I believe he recently, within the last year, had some surgery. So there may be, you know, it doesn't sound like it didn't affect him on the field last year. Let's put it that way. But Baltimore backed out of the deal, which kind of threw everything sideways a little bit because I think the Raiders in their preparation were planning on having all of the, you know, some draft picks out of this. And, you know, they were going about their free agency signing because a ton of guys signed right out of the gate. Same thing with Baltimore. They flipped the script a little bit, went out and signed Trey Hendrickson, I believe from Minnesota. But, you know, these trades and backing out of a trade, it's rare, but it does happen plenty in the NFL. So I know that the Raiders also managed to trade Geno Smith. Didn't think they would be making that deal, but they managed to move Geno Smith. I'm trying to think of where they sent him, but it was pretty much for some draft picks. He's going to be a backup. Oh, back to the Jets. That's what's the big news. Yeah, Geno started his career with the Jets. He's now back with the Jets. They're saying they're moving on from Josh Fields, so it's kind of like, what kind of role will Geno have? Will he start or will he sit on the bench for the Jets?
It's going to be interesting. There's a lot of stuff. Plus, you know, the Hawks have had one big change with Walker the third heading down or over to Kansas City. He's going to be playing with the Chiefs. What do you get? $43 million for what? 3 years? Pretty good contract. And I don't think the Seahawks are going to skip a beat. They'll go find somebody else, but they've got Charbonneau in the backfield who was a superstar last year too. So
yeah, it's hard to hear that your Super Bowl MVP has left for the Kansas City Chiefs of all places.
No doubt.
As a Seattle fan. But at the same time, you know, we had Zach Charbonneau all year who kind of split reps with Walker throughout the year. They will easily go out and find somebody who can spell Charbonneau. Yeah, overall, with that defense mostly coming back intact, Jackson Smith and Jigba at wide receiver, Salam's coming back, Darnold still at quarterback. I think this team is going to be a Super Bowl contender, even losing Walker. Granted, you know, his MVP performance in the Super Bowl was something fun to watch.
Definitely. And you know what? He deserved the MVP. He played outstanding, but you got to give a lot of the credit to your offensive line. I mean, granted, you know, he was probably the most patient runner that I have seen in the NFL in a very long time. And not to boast on Ducks or anything else like that, but Kenyon Barner, when he was playing for the Ducks, he reminded me of Walker or vice versa, waiting and waiting and waiting and then just firing through that hole ever so slightly, ever so small, and then getting a number of yards. I mean, what a testament to Walker.
And that's a natural skill. You can't teach that patience and, you know, immediate acceleration the way that is.
Acceleration is huge. I mean, yeah. And you have to have that talent in order to be able to obviously do that. But yeah, what a performance.
Yeah, and of course, there's so many player movements going on. Kyler Murray's going over to join J.J. McCarthy in the Vikings quarterback room. So you just got to keep your eye to the streets because these guys are going team to team left and right. You know, the first couple of days are the big name players, and now we're seeing the kind of the second tier guys moving on. It's the wild, wild west in the NFL right now.
It is. Keep your hat on. Get your boots strapped up. Here we go. All right. Sports Ticket right here on 1430 KYKN. We'll be back shortly.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Jeff and Hunter on 1430 KYKN.
Hey, last segment. Sports Ticket. Going to be a quickie. And it's being brought to you by the Army National Guard.
Oh, that is a good one. I like them. They were a huge sponsor for our halftime show for our basketball season, high school basketball. And, you know, the opportunities, and especially as a young person coming up now, I would look into that Army National Guard.
I think it's great. I mean, they can pay for your college. It's a lot of good things. Not that college is something that you really want to go to anymore, but they give you a great education.
All right. Well, I'm going to tell you right now something else great coming up. We have a potential World Series preview coming up in just a few minutes here. The Los Angeles Dodgers at the Seattle Mariners from Peoria, Arizona for a spring training Cactus League matchup.
Cal Raleigh-less.
Cal Raleigh-less.
Seattle,
I think,
Mariners.
Julio Rodriguez won't be there. A few others, you know, these guys playing the World Baseball Classic. But yeah, Mariners-Dodgers coming up. First pitch is at 6:10 tonight.
That's not far off.
No. So you get a little pregame show at 6 and then straight to the action for spring training baseball.
Yeah, Rick Riz last season too. So take it all in this year, people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff.
It's going to be a memorable season. Hopefully this is the World Series preview. Granted, I'm not going to hold a whole lot of stake in what the outcome may be based on tonight's game.
Yeah, if there's any more National Leaguers out there, Giant fans, they're not too happy with that comment. All right. Have a great weekend, everybody. Sports Ticket signing out. Enjoy the ball game. We'll see you next week.
This has been the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Jeff and Hunter every Friday at 5 p.m. on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.